afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, November 11th, 2016. It's Veterans Day. And, of course, we need to acknowledge the veterans, past, present, and future. And we do thank you for doing what you do. Not a lot of people can say in a voluntary manner. And so thank you for your service. And it was an interesting day in the markets today. Bond markets were closed, but certainly the bonds had an interesting week. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Did I forget to say good afternoon, Al?
I don't remember.
You're getting old, Al.
Well, so are you, Melody. If you forgot to ask and I forgot to remember, then maybe we're both getting old.
No, Alfred. When were you born, though?
It wasn't yesterday.
Oh, okay. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. Gold, a lot of pressure on gold today once again. But we're looking at a three-day weekend here. Banks were closed today. Post office was closed today. Bond market was closed today. Not a where everybody gets off on the day, but still a three-day weekend. Gold was down $34.30 today at $1,225. It break down through that $1,250, you know, quite substantially, and we'll just have to see where it finishes, where its bottom is at. Silver finally caught up with the drop that we've seen in gold today. It was down almost 7%, over a buck, 1.26 at 1743. Platinum was down 32 bucks at 945. And palladium was also down 14 at $677. You also have the USDX today stronger by 0.23, moving up at 99.06. Crude oil was down big 1.41 at 43.25. Paper markets today continue their gains for after the election. The Dow was up another 39 points, approaching that 19,000 mark, 18,847. The NASDAQ was up 28. 5,237, but the S&P was down 3 at 2164. And if anybody cares to remember, I did say we could possibly see Dow 20,000. If we see inflation creeping back into the markets and so forth, we could actually see Dow 20,000. Does that take away anything from the prices of what, gold? No, not at all. It only makes gold stronger, the fundamentals for gold stronger, the fundamentals for silver stronger. Gold, let's see, the euro, a lot of pressure on the euro, down 0.35 at 108, 10-year yield. Of course, as I mentioned, those markets were closed for today. You know, Alan, everybody talks about the winners this week. Paper markets have boomed with record-breaking days, but there are some losses other than gold. I mean, we've seen the 10-year note yield jumped 37 basis points this week through yesterday. Probably would have gone higher today, but treasuries were closed. This week, the yield on the 30-year securities climbed 39 basis points. Commonwealth Bank predicts the 10-year yield will rise to 2.50% in the first half of 2017. Heck, that even makes my prediction from last year for where it would end in December not too shabby. I mean, how quickly things change. And this is what we have to come away with this, too. Look how quick things are changing. U.S. government securities.
Are they really changing? That's the question on this. I know people are reacting on this. There's great volatility here, but what exactly has changed? Obama is still the president for the next 2 months. Trump will take office in January. What's changed in the last couple of days other than we've eliminated a certain amount of uncertainty about who's going to be elected? And apparently the world takes Trump's election as cause for optimism. They think Trump is going to be able to solve the problems that are facing the U.S. and global economies. And I don't know if problems are greater than any one man is likely to be able to resolve.
Absolutely. I don't know if it's a matter of the world believes he can solve the problem, but the world believes he's going to spend. The world believes there's a lot of money that's going to be being thrown at our infrastructure. There's a lot of money that's going to be thrown at Obamacare. There's a lot of money, and this is what they're all betting on. They're betting on these trade agreements being renegotiated. They're betting on a lot of things. I do agree also that we're going to see the problems have not gone away. And we're talking about what we've seen, the changes this week. Are they going to go back to where they were? You know, we'll have to see. There's a lot of trades being undone, the carry trades being undone with these yields. There's no way that the Federal Reserve can say no in December, so we know we got higher rates coming our way. And when you look at higher yields, you know those value of those bonds are going down. U.S. government securities handed investors a loss of almost 3% this week compared to this year's gain of 6.5%. Global bonds tumbled after everyone believes, after the election, that he's going to ramp up spending, which is going to widen the budget deficit and and increase inflation. And inflation, on the other hand, is still rising worldwide. I do believe so. The election has just kind of added to everything. Demand for U.S. debt. It's waning. $15 billion auction of 30-year bonds yesterday drew bids for 2.11, the amount available, the lowest since February. 10-year notes on Wednesday had a bid to cover ratio of 2.22. It was the least since 2009. So there's still a lot of risks and a lot of unknowns with after the election. There was another part that I was reading about the carry trades. Can also be added to the list of losers from after the election, and with bets on higher yielding currencies, from all over the world, Indonesia, Brazil, they're all unwinding at the fastest pace since 2011, as we see these treasury yields rising to the degree that they have, and so that kind of undermines the case for a riskier government debt. So there's a lot of reversals that were sort of seen in a strategy that, rewarded a lot of these foreign exchange traders for most of this year, plus last year and the year before. And, this year anyway, pushed the carry trade returns to an 18-month high Tuesday. So, and when you have these emerging markets, this carry trade, that's been estimated to be at about, $2 trillion? Dollars in size? That's huge, Al. But, and when I was reading today, when we look at the carry trade, it's not good for the average person. And, and what it does, it rises the U.S. dollar. It rises U.S. bond prices, and this is what we've seen. We've seen rising U.S. stock markets. We've seen lower commodity prices. But when those trades unwind, we will see the opposite also. So, I think it is interesting to see how these, markets are changing. Are the fundamentals of gold and silver intact? Are our problems still there? Absolutely. But still, you have a lot of people that are... I think the way they're trading, it gives us a little bit of insight that we are going to see more inflation. We are going to see higher rates, higher yields.
Well, just it surprises me because everyone, I kept hearing reports about how Wall Street was afraid of Trump and Trump would be bad and one thing or another. So far, he's been great for Wall Street.
That's because he's going to spend, and that's unusual. He hasn't.
Well, that's interesting, but that's a presumption. What's he going to spend?
He hasn't talked anything about cutting much. He's talked about cutting foreign, our funding to, sanctuary cities, to the UN, to various places. But I don't think that's really going to offset what he plans to do with the infrastructure and everything else. The tax cuts.
What's interesting about this, Trump will take office in middle of January. he's not likely to have a significant effect on the economy for several months after he takes office. I know he intends to hit the ground running. Everybody who gets elected president intends to hit the ground running. But he's going to have to actually get some bills negotiated through Congress, through the Senate.
Well, he's not going to have any problem. He's got a blank check. Okay, he's going to have very, very few fights. You know, I mean,
I don't think he has a blank check. You know, when we talk about Obama, people are anticipating that he's going to spend. What's he going to spend?
Not a blank
check.
Obama
has doubled the national debt in his two terms of office.
Not a blank check as far as spending, but a blank check that all his bills and so forth will be passed because it's all Republicans.
Yeah, maybe, but the Republicans didn't like him to begin with. I mean, they may be coming around now. He may be their patron saint now, but he wasn't for the last 18 months. And I'm not certain that he's going to overcome. There will be some residual animosity. They may go along with the program to begin with, but there's going to be some. They'll be some of them will be dragging their feet and waiting for an opportunity to turn on them.
Very few, because they won't get elected in their 2 years.
Well, they'll be cautious about it. They'll be waiting to see if there's some sort of a problem that turns up and they can take advantage of it. But my point remains, in terms of spending, Obama has spent more than all of the previous deficits. He has done more deficit spending than all the previous American presidents in American history. Now, how much more can Trump spend? How much is left? How much deeper into debt we go?
As long as everyone buys our debt, they can continue to spend.
Yeah, but how long are they going to keep buying our debt?
Look at the markets. There's nobody saying no, are they?
Not right this
minute.
They're
enthused about it.
Not right this minute. Yes, we've had 3-4 days of this. But there's going to be another reaction. This is like a yo-yo. It goes up and it goes down. And we will see some more volatility before this is done. I mean, I don't believe that the stock market...
What we're doing today is explaining to the listeners of why the markets are doing what they're doing and why. Absolutely, the fundamentals, of course, they're there. Of course, we have... You know, we have a fiat currency, and I'm not going to go down that path. We all know that. We have a fiat currency, unlimited spending from the government until the doubt comes that the U.S. government can no longer pay that debt. And it is the confidence game. So how long can they, you know, and you got the rest of the world who's playing the game. But there always is that outside event, and that's why I do believe it'll be some sort of an outside event that no one anticipates, that no one expects, and we wake up that next day and golly gee, things have changed. All of a sudden now, you know, the world is different, and we didn't know that would happen overnight while we were sleeping. And it will equate to everything that we've talked about as far as, you know, when we talk about, look at the social unrest in this country. Imagine that tenfold. Imagine that 10 times worse. You know, we talk about all these, you know, these nasty things, unfortunately, it will make gold go to, you know, I should say fortunately, it will make gold go to 5,000. Or higher. It will make gold go to 100 or higher. But look what we lose. And these things will happen. And you're right, Al. You're absolutely correct. The problems haven't gone away, but they can still do, because it depends on if they restrain. Now, I always says on March, they have to deal with the debt ceiling. That's going to come back into play come March. So, you know, you're right. They might just say, nope, can't do it. We're going to put that debt ceiling back into play. Don't know.
Well, even if, again, I'm just saying Obama has, you know, again, he's doubled the debt in his term of office. Doubled. He's created more debt than all the previous presidents combined. I just don't see, what's Trump going to do to spend more? Is he going to raise taxes? If he does, he's going to slow the economy.
Taxes.
I don't think he can
he's
raise
cutting
taxes.
Taxes.
All right, fine. He's cutting taxes. So where's he going to get the money to spend, for government to spend? And it has to be by borrowing. If he doesn't have higher taxes, he's got to have more borrowing. And I'm sitting here thinking, good God, how much more can we borrow before somebody admits that this thing can't support itself?
You know, what's interesting, too, I was reading that, you know, from various agencies and so forth, they were saying with Trump's tax cuts to the corporation and so forth, you're looking at over a decade, like, you know, it would increase the deficit by, what, $6 trillion? There was another area in his, with the infrastructure spending and so forth. I mean, even he said on the campaign that it would cost more than $500 billion. You're probably looking at it closer to $1 trillion.
For what?
You know, when you're, for the infrastructure spending. Mm. You know, to throw money at the to renew the infrastructure.
Okay, that's fine. But again, where's it going to come from?
Well, they can still do a lot as long as. But what this is, but you know, but even still, they've been having problems. As I mentioned when we started the program, that the auctions for the treasuries are down. So.
Which means people aren't lending them money.
People aren't lending. Yeah.
Right. They're already not lending them money. Where is he going to get the money to spend?
I'm not defending it.
I understand. I'm just saying what I'm saying is anyone who thinks that if their cause for making the stock market jump and gold go down is that Trump is going to spend more money, I'm sitting back and saying I don't see that happening. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it doesn't strike me as a problem. Where's the money coming from? I mean, the Federal Reserve says they've done everything they can. They don't want to do anymore. They say it's up to government fiscal policy to resolve the coming problems. Where's the government? If it can't borrow more money from the Federal Reserve, where's it going to get the money from? I don't think everybody's out there saying, boy, I can't wait to lend more money to the United States government because Donald Trump's in there, and that means they will pay the national debt. No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean that at all. There's, you know. So from my perspective, we're seeing some highly volatile market reports here, market returns in the last couple of days after Trump has been elected. But I'm going to guess, I'm going to speculate that it won't be all that long before we see some highly volatile reversals.
Oh,
I expect we're going to see them before the end of this year.
Oh, I agree.
It might be in next week, for all I know. I mean, this goes up; it goes up like a skyrocket. It's going to come down like a skyrocket, and vice versa.
Well, once they do that other quarter point in December, and again, once we get into January and February, you got the Brexit. You know, are they? You know, that's supposed to be initiated in March. You get the debt ceiling that has to be addressed. And as far as I remember correctly, Obama extended the budget until after the election, so they'll be addressing that here in a few short weeks.
And we're going to be addressing some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I wanted to remind the listeners we're carrying through the Mint State 64 $20 Liberty gold piece. That price did drop today with a big drop in the gold prices yesterday. That special was going for $1,840. Today it's $1,820. But I did go back to the September 6th date with spot gold versus today's spot gold. We're looking at a $120 drop in gold prices since September 6th, but the Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces, they are still up $70. So a really good coin to diversify your portfolio with. Sometimes they can avoid the volatility that we see in the spot markets. So for $1,820, you also receive the Christmas special, the 1 ounce American Silver Eagle in its Merry Christmas container, and it also includes your shipping costs for $1,820. Something else that didn't go down even with the big drop in silver were my brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. So I have a special for those, $595 for 20 of the brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. But that also includes a Christmas container for your silver eagle, which includes a 1 ounce silver eagle, and it also includes your shipping costs and insurance costs for $595. And again, it's great to diversify into something else in your portfolio that doesn't react immediately to the swings that we see in gold and silver. So it really does help soften any fluctuations in the gold and silver market. So it's great to be diversified, and the brilliant uncirculated peace dollars is a great way to do that. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. The new website, I hope, will be done in the next couple of weeks. And we upgraded the technology so that you can listen to it on your iPads, your smartphones, maybe even a Facebook page. Maybe we'll even do Twitter. I can't imagine I Twitter. I hate that. I think it's so stupid. But maybe we'll tweet a little. Alfred.
Well, if you want to tweet, that's all
maybe
right
we'll
with me,
tweet.
Melody.
But it
I'm,
seems...
I'm a little bit too mature to tweet.
I can't imagine, although the website will be able to do all that, still remains to be seen whether you'll actually get a tweet. Although I'll have to be encouraged, folks.
Is that what you give the dog when the dog shakes hands or rolls over or something? Here, doggy, I'm going to give you a doggy tweet.
So then you listeners will have to visit the website and put something in there, encourage me to respond. But anyway, we still got a couple of weeks on that before we get there. There was a couple of things I wanted to, we were talking about taxes, And I guess federal tax revenue set another all-time record for the month of October. And this was according to the monthly Treasury statement, $221.6 billion for the month of October. That is the most taxes the federal government has ever collected in October, which is the first month of the fiscal year. The record, $221.6 billion in taxes collected this October, was up. Let's see what else. Americans also paid $79 billion in Social Security and other payroll taxes during October. Doesn't this make you all feel warm and fuzzy inside? The income tax on corporations, hey, they brought in $2.2 billion during October. Excise taxes brought in $5.7 billion. And the Treasury also collected $3.3 billion in estate and gift taxes. So,
well, it's all positive for the economy.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
really?
It's, if the numbers are real, then it's evidence that the economy is actually making some money. They can't pay the taxes. They can't collect those taxes if the economy is not prospering. So those returns are positive for the economy. But here's another report from Bloomberg that, to my mind, is not positive. And the headline is, Japan shuts down its monetary lab, meaning laboratory. Japan's great monetary policy experiment is drawing to a close, and the results may change the way the world thinks about central banking. I would observe that it may also change the way the world thinks about fiat currencies, but that remains to be seen. The Bank of Japan's recent quarterly report says, in effect, that the central bank has done all it can to raise growth and inflation, and that fiscal policy needs to step in and help. Now, this is the same story we've had from the Federal Reserve for 6 months anyway. They're saying, we've done everything we can, might be most of a year. Yeah, we've done everything we can with monetary policy. It's now up to fiscal policy to revive the economy. And fiscal policy is government taxation and government spending. And in my opinion, they can't raise taxes without slowing the economy, so I don't see that happening. And if there's going to be government spending, they have to borrow more money. But the problem with that is hit, again, as we talked in the first segment of the program, Obama has already done so much deficit spending that he's doubled the national debt in his eight years in office. Now, the Federal Reserve is claiming that they can't do any more with monetary policy, which is setting interest rates and controlling the money supply. They can't do anything. They've done everything they can with quantitative easing and near zero interest rates. And they can't. There's nothing else they can do. And they're saying it's up to the government now to change fiscal policy in order to stimulate the economy. And that inevitably means that the government must spend more money. But they're acting as if the government hasn't been doing anything for the last 8 years. And the truth is that Obama has raised the debt. He's doubled the debt in 8 years. That's deficit spending. That's fiscal policy. That's an attempt to stimulate the economy with fiscal policy. The people who say the government hasn't done anything in the last 8 years are not paying attention to the debt they've run up to spend one way or another that should have resulted in stimulation of the economy, and it hasn't. Right? At least not to a significant degree. It has perhaps stabilized the economy, perhaps prevented the economy from going into a depression, but it has not caused significant stimulus in the economy. So here we have Japan. They're saying, we've had it. We can't do anymore. Abenomics, big, aggressive policies where they would inject more money and lower interest rates down to zero or below zero and so on. What's that done? Nothing. And they're admitting it. They're admitting that quantitative easing and near zero and negative interest rates have failed to cause the inflation that they think they need to make the Japanese economy run. This is not just about Japan. This is the biggest experiment in quantitative easing and near zero interest rates, or below zero interest rates, negative interest rates the world's ever seen. And they are admitting that it doesn't work. They have previously promised to do whatever it takes whatever it takes. They would, there was the governor, Kuroda. He would do whatever it takes to hit their inflation target at the Bank of Japan. Now he's saying, nope, we had it. We can't do it. If they can't do it, who can? And the point I'm making here is this is a powerful story because it's evidence that the central bank's fiat monetary system, this is a break. This is a, it's not a catastrophic failure just yet, but what is going to happen to Japan if quantitative easing doesn't work and near zero or negative interest rates don't work and they've thrown in the towel? What is going to happen to the world's third biggest economy? And what's going to happen to the economists in the United States and China and wherever say, oh, we can do like Japan? Doesn't work for Japan. It's never worked for Japan. They have never achieved the results that we're really looking for with the economic stimulus that the Bank of Japan had tried to provide. It's telling us that the central banks are increasingly irrelevant. It's telling us that there's something fundamental about the central bank's theories and applications of those theories that is flawed and fundamentally in a way that they are unlikely to be able to recover from. So to me, we've got everything jumping in the markets here in the United States. Gold is going down and the stocks are going up and the rest of that. But I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wait a second. I'm not seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm seeing a deeper shade of darkness at the end of the tunnel. And I just don't see that. I don't see a rational and reasonable cause for the changes we've seen in the markets in the last since Trump was elected. We go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We've got 3 days. Big things have happened, no question about it. Surprising things, well, unexpected things, but we still have a world of trouble to deal with.
I said yesterday on a program that the markets are reacting to emotion. It's reacting to unknowns. It's reacting to, it's not reacting to reality. But markets haven't acted on reality for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not when you have multinational corporations buying back their own shares just to make it go higher, just to keep their value there, to give the perception that things are great. Reality always comes back. There is always a window opening to reality. It's just been so distorted. People refuse to accept reality anymore. They can't accept.
Well, they'll get
the
it.
Truth.
They're gonna. They, I can't blame them eventually. For refusing. I can't. On one level, I can't blame them for refusing to accept reality because this reality that we're talking about here, that we think is the real deal right now, this is going to be painful. This is like telling someone you've got it. Has been bitten by a dog. You've got to take rabies shots in the gut. And you got to take one every few days for the next month or so in order to overcome, to protect yourself from rabies. There's a lot of people who don't want to face the reality that because it is guaranteed. There is not a reality out there that I'm able to perceive where all of a sudden this country becomes prosperous.
Do you know what we're really probably experiencing this week with the numbers? It was an opportunity. It was an opportunity for the world's biggest fortunes to make more money. And they did. They made $100 billion. Warren Buffett is once again the second richest person on the planet. And, it was after the election. So he gets to thank Donald Trump even after he stomped for Hillary. He added $5.8 billion to his fortune this week. And mainly that was because of Wells Fargo, because with Donald Trump, he wants to eliminate Todd Frank. And with that, there goes regulations to the banks, insurance companies, and so forth. Therefore, they'll be able to do all these kind of things that they did before in order to create another problem like the subprime lending we experienced back in 2008. But it made Wells Fargo soar 13%. 2 days after the election. So, these were opportunities. The world's richest, again, added a ton of money to their portfolios this week.
Well, the question becomes, to what extent are these market changes being driven by the general public, and to what extent are they being manipulated by the elite?
It's absolutely the elite.
Yeah, well, probably, but
no,
we are looking at it from the perspective of happy days are here again.
The individual doesn't
go out,
have
march
the amount.
The streets and sing songs, and it may be that this was just an opportunity. The what got this going was just a couple of days ago. The market fell by 800 points or whatever, and then it was jacked back up. Right? It may be that in that sudden surprising fall, the system where the system reacted and they said, let's kick this thing back up 800 points, and why stop there? We'll go another 200 and 300 and whatever. It may have started something, but can it be sustained? I don't think this is, I have a hard time believing this is simply, what we've seen in the markets is simply a reaction from the average investor. Now, they may be reacting, they may follow the lead and they say, hey, sign me up. Looks like a gravy train has pulled into town. Let's sign up for it. But you know, I just don't see good cause for the reaction that's occurred in the last several days. And
that was an opportunity. I mean, private individuals don't have the money in order to make these markets swing. You're dealing with a lot bigger force than what most people can imagine is there. But anyway. So, the rich get richer.
Well, and, I don't mind if the rich get richer as long as they do it without...
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
I don't mind if the poor get poorer if they do it based on what they're actually doing rather than being... If they're being robbed, it's wrong. If they're being lazy, it's... I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the rich getting richer as long as they earn it fairly. If they're earning it by bribing politicians or government agencies or whatever to make things happen that benefit them, I have a problem with that. If they do it on their own, fine. I have no problem.
I have no problem if they do it on, but can you imagine an area in this world that isn't corrupt?
I can imagine that once upon a time I lived in a country which was not overtly corrupt. I don't know
at that time.
I'm talking
about
didn't act like it.
I'm talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, they get richer on the backs of the people.
Well, they did that, but Trump's victory is evidence. A lot of people are sick of it. They understand what we're talking about. They're fed up with it, and the reason they voted for Trump is he wasn't one of the people who was breaking the law with the permission of people in power to steal more money from the general public. Right? I'm not saying Trump is honorable. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying he was not clearly and obviously exploiting Congress and the Senate and the White House in order to rob the American people. And so people said, all right, let's vote for him. He's not part of the establishment. And they have caused enormous trouble for the Democrat Party, of course. And they've caused trouble for the Republican Party. Both of the established parties are now in the grips of populism. They're going to have to come out and start representing the people. It turns out that the rich people don't really control this country. This is an extraordinary report. And we'll talk more about that when we return in a couple of minutes. We're going to take a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Won't you take me back to school?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I did have one note come in by the email. I haven't had a chance to read it. It's actually, I'm not sure which New York Post. I don't know if they're true, if they're a good publication or not. I guess they can be when they want to be. But supposedly, this was a story from them that Chelsea Clinton is being groomed to run for Congress.
So, Hillary or Bill?
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Chelsea, the daughter.
You know, I don't know. I don't doubt it. Doesn't surprise me in the least. Then the Senate, then the presidency. Maybe she'll be the one to be the female to break the glass ceiling and get elected president. But you got to give, I guess you got to give the Clintons credit. They just don't quit. There's no quit in them, but there's no common sense either. They ought to just get out.
None of these.
You know? Do they need to attract
dynasties.
More attention?
None of these.
Do they really need more attention? Why don't they just go fishing? Get out of here.
None of these.
And she, her daughter, ought to be, I mean, good God. Got two parents who've been roundly repudiated. Is she going to be the third Clinton? The lucky one, or is she going to be the third one to go to prison?
Actually, I did see where she was actually questioning the foundation, and she was concerned about some of the funds were not being used properly. But then again, you read articles about her wedding was funded by the.
Well, that's proper funding. I mean, if I were receiving $1 million a month from the Clinton Foundation, I might admit that some of their spending is justified. You know, it's not all corrupt, but if I'm given that I'm not, I'm a little more objective about what happens with Clinton fund spending.
But I think one of the funniest cartoons I saw today, and it was on Drudge, and it had a rocket ship, you know, getting ready to take off, the steam, the flames coming out at the bottom, big rocket ship going straight up. It was about Cher leaving the country. Yeah. Cher's taking off, getting out of the country. It's like good riddance. They can't take her far enough away. But it'll be interesting to see if all these other Hollywood
persons. They may have Elon Musk is trying to populate Mars. Maybe they'll set it up where only Democrats can go to Mars in order to get away from Trump. Perhaps that's what we'll have here. It'll be a Democrat colony.
There you go.
Liberal colony. Only liberals.
Only liberals.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's that
article? Speaking of liberals, here's an article from Michael Moore. Michael Moore has produced a number of motion pictures. I think 9/11 Fahrenheit was one of his motion pictures. He's a liberal. He's a heavy-duty liberal. He's contrary. You know, he doesn't like the conservatives and so on. But nevertheless, he's got an interesting Michael Moore's post-election to-do list. And he's got a list of 5 items here, 2 of which strike me as very insightful. A couple of them strike me as improbable. It just isn't going to happen. But it's worth going through. His point one, he sees this is what to do for Democrats. He says point one, it's simple and to the point. Take over the Democratic Party and return it to the people. Democratic Party leaders have failed us miserably. Well, he's right. The same thing can be said about the Republican Party, and to some degree, that's exactly what's happened with Trump. He took over the Republican Party apparatus, even though he's not part of the Republican Party establishment. But Moore is right. Take over the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party leadership has failed the people miserably. It's because the Democratic Party our leadership is for sale to the highest bidder, as is the leadership of the Republican Party. Of course, they've failed the public while they're serving the oligarchy that gives them bribes. Point two, this is from Michael Morgan, fire all pundits, predictors, pollsters, and anyone else in the media who had a narrative that they wouldn't let go of and refused to listen to or acknowledge what was really going on. All right? Well, that's just nonsense. You're not going to fire all the pundits and predictors and so on. That isn't going to happen. Point three, encourage Democrats to fight against Trump just as Republicans fought against Obama during his 8 years in office. He goes on to say any Democratic member of Congress who didn't wake up this morning ready to fight, resist, and obstruct the way the Republicans did against President Obama every day for full 8 years must step out of the way and let those of us who know the score lead the way in stopping the meanness and madness that's about to begin. I don't agree that meanness and madness is about to begin. I can understand that the Democrats, the loyal opposition or the disloyal opposition, I can understand that they need to try to struggle against the Republicans, but it's going to Republicans, if they control the White House and the House and the Senate, it's going to be an uphill battle. I don't see the Democrats making an effective resistance to Trump. The Republicans might, but the Democrats by themselves will not. Point four, this is a good one. Point four points a finger at all Democrats and independents who don't understand how and why Donald Trump managed to win. And here's what Michael Moore has to say. Everyone must stop saying they're stunned and shocked. What you mean to say is that you were in a bubble and weren't paying attention to how your fellow Americans and their despair. Years of being neglected by both parties, the anger and the need for revenge against the system only grew. I think that's a profound point. When we sit back and we say, oh, I'm stunned, I'm shocked, what that means is you weren't paying attention. And to the extent any of us, including me, say, oh, I was stunned, I was surprised, I was shocked, it's evidence we weren't really paying attention. And there were people out there that were angry. There were people who have been abandoned and neglected, and they wanted revenge. The system has betrayed the average American. The average American knows. And as we pointed out earlier, as much power as the super rich can exert on Congress and the Senate and the White House, turns out they don't really have control. If they go too far, the people will jump up and say, you're... and put an end to it. And for the moment, at least, it appears that's what may have happened. Michael Moore's fifth point, he says the majority of our fellow Americans preferred Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, period, fact. And he's saying she won the popular vote. So this wasn't a landslide in favor of Trump. He had a landslide in terms of the Electoral College. I think it can be characterized as a landslide at the Electoral College. That may be true, but certainly not. He didn't have a landslide in the popular vote, which means there will be considerable resistance to Trump in this country. He's not fighting against a minority. He's fighting against, technically, what may be a majority of the American people who actually preferred Hillary. They just didn't have the electoral vote. Michael Moore goes on and says the only reason Trump is president is because of an arcane, insane 18th century idea called the Electoral College. Until we change that, we'll continue to have presidents we didn't elect and didn't want. Well, I don't anticipate that the Electoral College is going to be changed anytime soon. If the Electoral College got Trump and the Republicans into power, and so long as they are in power, they're not likely to turn their back on the Electoral College. So what I'm saying is Michael Moore had a couple of astute observations here, especially the one who said we are stunned and shocked. What you really mean to say is that you were in a bubble. You weren't really paying attention to your fellow Americans and their despair. Right? That's what led to our sense of shock. We should have paid closer attention. All of us should have understood this. A lot of people did not. And I think that was an astute observation. He made two observations. The other one is take over the Democratic Party and return it to the people. And he means take it away from the elite, the oligarchs and whatever. Again, good point. The other three points are of negligible importance or probability. They're not likely to happen, but I was impressed. I thought Moore made a couple of very nice observations. So what's next, Melody?
I was reading a little bit of Rush Limbaugh, and he pretty much very much different. Perhaps he got his ideas from reading this or vice versa, but very much the same. And you're going to see the same fight inside the Republican Party. How is it going to change? Because it is going to change. And they are, hopefully it changes. But
the question is, are they going to represent the people or are they going to represent the rich? That's the question. And Trump's election indicates that if the Republican Party had any brains, it would start representing the people rather than its principal political campaign contributors. And that would mean perhaps an end to abortion, for example. They had the opportunity to do that during the Bush administration, and they neglected
to do
so. They never did. The abortion movement laid the foundation for the moral majority, which laid the foundation for the Republican Party moving from the status of a minority party to a majority party. They got to be the big Republican Party, at least in recent years. Since World War II, the Republican Party made a fantastic recovery, largely because they promised to end abortion. And they promised to be the represent the moral majority. And they got in. And then when they got there, they said, to heck with the moral majority and to heck with abortion. I think they did it thinking, as long as abortion is here, and we can blame it on the Democrats, we can get more Republicans elected. I think it was a cynical political calculation. I don't know that to be true, but I think that's why it happened. It went on for years. George Bush had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate. He could have ended abortion. They had the power to do it. They chose not to. Right? They did not represent the people. They gave us a lot of lip service. They said, we're here to do these good deeds for the people. But in the end, they didn't. They served the oligarchy. And now they're in trouble. And the Democrats are in trouble. And maybe the oligarchy's in trouble. You know, if there's going to be a source of money that can fund Mr. Trump's great ideas, when I say great ideas, I don't mean they're necessarily great just yet, but they're large. Maybe it will come from the super rich. Maybe Trump will increase taxes on the super rich. I don't know if he could do it enough to actually make a significant difference, but he's not. I just can't see him increasing taxes on the general populace and expecting that to fund government spending and somehow stimulate the economy. But the super rich have stacked up a bunch of coins, a bunch of dollars, a bunch of bonds, a bunch of stocks. Presumably, some of that might be taxed. And I don't know that Trump intends to do that. Being a rich man himself, I don't know that he would. But it strikes me as the one place that they might be able to get some of the money they need if government's going to re-stimulate this economy and restore it with government spending. Other than that, I don't know.
Well, he wants to try and repatriate that $2 trillion sitting in overseas accounts, try to bring that back.
Well, the reason they won't bring it back, what that means, he would bring the $2 trillion back, and it would increase the money supply, which in theory would help stimulate the economy. But the only way you're going to bring it back, my understanding is the reason it's not here is because they don't want it to be taxed by the United States government.
And that's
which means if you want to bring it back, they're going to have to lower taxes on the rich.
And he wants to lower the corporation tax to 15%.
And perhaps if he lowers taxes enough, if he really does, that could stimulate the economy enough where we might see increased tax revenues that might be able to provide for government fiscal stimulus.
But it really is temporary. But it would also be temporary. It would be a temporary. Even Reagan, he came in his first 2 years. He did all kinds of tax cuts and so forth, stimulated the economy to some degree. But after that, he had real problems.
Yeah.
So it's a temporary fix. And I do believe it. It's just a temporary fix. That's what we talk about that all the time. Any fix is going to be temporary unless they fix our monetary system.
Yeah, I agree. The whole idea behind this is that the people in Washington are smart enough to manipulate the economy and keep everybody fat, dumb, and happy. Turns out they're not. All right? They're not really that smart. Their manipulations don't work. Somewhere along the line, people have to sit back and say, well, you know, we need to let this country, just as much as possible, do its own business, let people do what they're going to do, and work for the best and hope for the best, but we can't just control and manipulate as if the people are a bunch of dumb animals. They've done that. That's been a standard theme, I mean, for decades now. The government treats us as livestock. They really do.
But
and
the
they think, well, we're so smart, you people are so dumb. Maybe not. Maybe they aren't so smart. Maybe we're not so dumb. Maybe we can handle our own affairs if we can get those central planners off our backs.
Well, it's not that the people this country are dumb. It's just that they were asleep. They just didn't.
Yeah, they're waking up now.
They were, they were distracted. There was a lot of distractions, which were intentional. Because they wanted the people to be distracted. They wanted them to be asleep. They wanted them to not see what they were doing, like the frog in a boiling pot.
They doing was trying to push us into a new world order and effectively destroy the United States of America. That's treason, and that's what the government's been involved in for many years.
We're not out of the boat yet. So.
No, we're not, but we are out of time. So we're going to have to bid you folks a fond adieu. We hope you enjoyed the program. We hope you'll tune in next Monday when Melody and I return. In the meantime, with the good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.